Good morning. It's great to see everyone in worship this morning. If I could draw your attention to your pew pads, which are located at the end of your pew, we invite members and guests alike to take that out, jot down your information, pass it down. Once everybody's completed that, we ask you to pass that back to the center aisle, and we will pick those up later on in the service today. It is a great day to be in God's house. It is a special day to be in God's house as we have deacon ordination today of Mr. Josh Hooser, and we want to welcome his family and friends that are here today. We're looking forward to celebrating in this special occasion. Also, draw your attention to our church bulletin. We have several announcements listed there. I will not mention all of those, but we'll highlight a couple of those. Tonight, as many of you know, it is the Super Bowl. And we have a great... People are cheering already, and we're in worship. Gosh! We have a great activity planned this evening. We have a chili cook-off and also just a Super Bowl party to gather together in Smith Hall, watch the game. We have the sound system hooked up, so I promise you'll be able to hear and see the game. It'll be a great time of fellowship. Invite you to bring your favorite chili or your favorite tailgating dish to share with everybody. If you don't tailgate, just bring something to share, like a covered dish meal, and it will be a great time together. We also have several tables and chairs set up, but if you would like to be more comfortable, as many of you know, the Smith Hall chairs are not the best chair to sit in for 3 hours if you plan to stay and watch the whole game. You're more than welcome to bring your own chair. Please, no lazy boys. We won't have enough room for that. Well, you can bring a lazy boy, but not a lazy boy recliner. So it'll be a great time of fellowship. Come together. We'll start about 5:45 this evening. Also, I'm sure you've noticed. If you haven't noticed, it's not my fault. The dinner and a show flyers are up. And so take note of that. The youth are excited about that coming up in March. The other announcements are listed here. I invite you to read those at your convenience. Our ushers now are going to come down the aisle. And if you're a guest with us for the first time, we just want to extend a special welcome to you. When they pass you back by, if you would, just slip up your hand. They want to give you a packet of information to let you know a little bit more about how we do things here at College Park. There's a letter from our pastor. Also, there's a church newsletter. We'll let you know about all the activities and ministries going on in the life of our church. It is a great day to be in God's house, as it always is a great day to be in God's house. But let us join our hearts together in prayer. Pray with me, if you would. God, we just thank you. We thank you for another day that we have just to wake up, to enjoy your beautiful creation, to live in your presence here on this earth, and to serve you. Father, today as we ordain one of our deacons, Father, we just thank you for his willingness to be a servant for you. Father, we really just thank you for the ability we all have to stop and to serve you every step, every day, anywhere you call us, Lord. It's truly a pleasure to serve you. But Lord, right now we're gathered to worship. And so, Father, let our worship be pleasing to you this day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. morning. It's good to see everybody. I have a question. Where is your favorite place, favorite restaurant to go eat at? A Mexican restaurant. It doesn't matter which one. Just give me chips and cheese dip. All right. McDonald's? Okay, McDonald's. That is an option. What's your favorite? Domino's? Domino's is a great. Domino's, McDonald's, and Mexican. Well, you know, when you go sit down at a table, does the food just magically appear at your table? Why? How does the food? The server brings it to you. That's exactly right. Hey, Bailey. The server brings you the food, right? Well, this morning, we have a very special thing that's happening. In our church, we have people called deacons. Can you say that word with me? Deacons. The word deacons actually means a waiter, somebody who stands at a table ready to serve. That's exactly what a deacon does. Now, these deacons that work in church, they have all kinds of ways that they serve us. Think about when you get the food delivered to your table. They have to. What if they messed up the food? They got to take it back, right? What about when you spill a drink? They got to clean it up, right? Or mommy and daddy makes you clean it up, one or the other. Or mommy makes daddy clean it up, one or the other. Yeah, I know. What? Then, after you leave, is the job done? No. They have to clean the table to get it ready for the next person. That is what a server does. Cleans up things. Help people when they need something, like when you're hungry or you need a refill. That's kind of what deacons do, is they see needs everywhere. And they serve. When people are in the hospital, they're the ones that come and visit. When you need a hand and something is broke at your house, a deacon, not all of them, but some of them are really good at fixing things in houses. Deacons are really good at loving people and caring for people. This morning, I've got this towel right here. It's just a nice soft towel. Don't put your mouth on it. That's good. All right. I keep this towel in my office. I was given this a few years ago to remind me what we do as pastors, as deacons, as people who follow Jesus, is serve people. This towel, just like when you wipe up the towel or wipe up your table, this is a reminder. You and me, just like our deacons, are about serving others. So when you go see a waiter, make sure you say thank you and remember how thankful we should be for people who are called to serve us. All right? Let's pray together. God, thank you for the opportunity that each of us have, for the gifts that you have given, for us to live out your calling. We are thankful for all those who have been called to be a deacon in our church, how they serve our community with Christ-like attitude and love. Help us to see their example and to live it out wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go back to your room.
Yeah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I'm seeing a few daffodils poking up out of the ground here and there. Thank you. Help our gratitude for the change of season and the warmth to spread over to some more important areas, perhaps. We're pretty good at that here at College Park, but keep us strong and keep us focused on the kind of giving that you would have us do. Bless this gift, bless the giver, bless the receiver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
A couple of weeks ago, we gathered here for worship, and we talked about deacons. We talked about what it is that deacons do, who they are, and all of that. And one of our deacons at lunchtime told me, he said, "Matt, I mean, you kept going and pouring it on. I just kept sinking in my chair thinking, I'm not worthy. And I said, "Brother, join the club. Join the club." You see, the point is, remember last week? What did we talk about? Oh, really? Seriously? We're done. Go home. No, we talked about spiritual gifts, right? And we said that God equips us for the ministry he calls us to, right? You remember that? Please nod your head. Thank you. Good. You know, what is it that God calls us to as ministers, all of us as ministers of the gospel? Those things he calls us to, he equips us to do. The same is quite true of deacons. True, we as a congregation set them apart for an act of service. But you see, just as with spiritual gifts, and remember we talked about spiritual gifts were given for building up the body and glorifying God, right? It's not about us, never has been, never will be. Same thing is true with deacons. They are equipped. They are equipped for the ministry that God has called them to and that you have entrusted upon them. And God will bless them. God is going to empower you in ways that you never dreamed. And these other deacons that are here can attest to that. Sometimes they just shake their head when they come to tell me stories. It's like, I never would have dreamed. And on it goes. So yes, it is a task that bears great responsibility. And yes, it is a task that is filled with joy. Sometimes when you're cleaning up the mess, as Jeff, by the way, that was beautiful, man. Great illustration for the kids, what it means to be a servant. And sometimes when you're helping me and the other deacons clean up a mess, it may not seem joyful, but it truly is because we are focused on building up the body. And Josh has agreed. He has said yes to God's calling upon his life to serve as a servant of this congregation, and on a higher plane of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, all of which will empower you for this journey. I'm going to invite Josh to come on up. I've asked him to share his spiritual journey to this point, and following that, he'll stay here with me, and we'll have a covenant of commitment, then we'll give you instructions from there. Thank you, brother.
Good morning. Good morning. Good to see everybody out here. Happy day, that's for sure. So I get a little emotional when I get nervous or thinking about some other time, so just bear with me a little bit. I got to practice this in the early morning service, thank goodness, but Raymond asked me to do this, and I wanted to sit down, and I wanted to put some words to paper, and I did that, and then we had snow, and then I had family out of town, so I got 2 more weeks. So I put more words to paper, and then I got to thinking, well, I would like to go home and watch the Super Bowl today sometime or another. So, no, originally, I went back and I went to my original because I thought this was me, not me trying to put words for this moment. So I'm just going to start there. I've been in church as far back as I can remember. I had parents that were great in that they had me in church. Now, Jeremy can, this is my, if you were there earlier, I said my little brother. You'll see in a little bit, he's not my little brother, he's my younger brother. But I was baptized as a Methodist as a kid, and we went to East Bend Methodist Church. And it was Jeremy and myself for a long time in those Sunday school classes. And we had Miss Peggy Fry. And as I stated before, a lot of times there's Sunday school classes where let's get out the coloring book and color. But Miss Peggy, she taught us a lot while we were doing that, I guess, because it's stuck with us over the years. But after much begging and pleading, and no offense to anybody in here, being the only 2 kids in a church, and it seemed like everybody was 100 years old, was tough. So we begged and pleaded, and they finally decided we were going to look for another church. And we chose Enum Baptist Church for the sole purpose of I had friends that went to church there. Jeremy, in fact, the first time we went, didn't get to go on our first meeting to Enum. He had friends that went to another church. But for some reason, Enum stuck with all of us. In 1989, I was baptized when I was in eighth grade as a Baptist at Enum Baptist and joined there. And then we had a youth minister named Rob White that came. And we did a lot as youth, or we thought we did. We did the Carowinds trips, but we never did any mission trips. And Rob really wanted us to go on a mission trip. So Rob was an ex-Navy SEAL. He was from Texas. And for the first mission trip, he decided he wanted to go down to Corpus Christi, Texas. That's a long drive. We didn't have a bus back then. We decided to do a convoy. And Mom and Dad let us use their van. This wasn't a minivan. It was the big van with couch in the back. It folded out into a bed, all that kind of good stuff. I got to ride in that van, and Chuck was the driver of that. And about halfway through, he was getting tired. And so I don't remember if we were in Texas or close to Texas. All I know is, Josh, you want to drive? I was 16. And I said, sure. So he let me drive. Now, those of you who haven't been to Texas or know Texas, the speed limit has been 70 and 80 miles per hour for a long time there. So you had me, a newly licensed driver, driving that church. Now, it's a miracle in itself that I'm standing here today from that. And that Chuck didn't have a heart attack. But while there, I left this out earlier, but while there, part of our mission was we wanted to hand out Bibles, and then we wanted to do something for the church. We stayed in the church, and we wanted to do something. So we decided we were going to put on a program for them. Let's just spare the moment. I had been visiting other youth groups. There was a girl involved, like there always is. And they had done a program. I just said, hey, let's do this. I remembered it. We just got done doing it. And there's a song called Thank You by Ray Bolts. I don't know if you guys know that, but this whole program was based around that song from Ray Bolts. And it's still, if you're at my house, you hear me singing that in the shower, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. And if you haven't heard that, go look up the words for that. I'm not going to go into depth because that's just a song that really says it all. Back to the mission trip. Once we were there, so we had to go out and give Bibles. And Corpus Christi had just been flooded by hurricanes, very similar to what Grifton is. It was a poor, poor place down there, and just in bad shape. So we'd go out and give out Bibles. So they'd break us up, and we'd go find families, and our youth leaders would, and our chaperones would witness to them, and then we'd hand Bibles to the kids is what we were trying to do. And we'd done this for a day, maybe a day and a half, and we ran out of Bibles at our last place. And this is a story told back to me, because I did not remember doing it at the time, but we ran out, and there was a little kid that came out. They didn't have a Bible. So we had all been given student Bibles. I just went and got mine out of the truck, handed it over. Now, the youth can tell you they make lots of notes in those Bibles. You highlight a bunch of stuff when you're in the youth group of those. I didn't think anything about it. I just knew I was going to get another Bible, or I had Bibles at the time, I'm sure. But Raymond Swain, who was a mentor of mine, and still to this day, one of the greatest service people you'll ever meet, he has told me that story several times and what it meant to him. Now, what I take from that are two things: that you're never too young to be a witness to somebody, and two, that people are watching you. It's not just what you say, it's what you do and how you live your life. Now, I had parents that taught me that you always help those in need. I was lucky enough to marry a woman that had parents that taught her this. And that was my first ever, first time I can remember that I did something that meant something to somebody else. And it was an older person. You know, I'm 16. He tells me this story when we come back. I will say that was probably the defining moment in my life. I've been told all my life, my dad always used to tell me when I said my prayers, I was going to make a good preacher one day. Because I said long, long prayers. But seeing the effect that it had on other people, you always feel it. You know, it's weird. The shower's my place where I get up there and the hot water's running on me. I think about everything that I've done the day before, or what I should have done, or how I should have said it. And there's a lot of things that came for that mission trip. One, my best friend, we met him down there, and he moved up here. So since 1989, why he decided to come up here, I'll never know. And why we decided to become friends, I'll never know. But we did, and it's been that way forever. I don't come up here as a perfect man, and I don't come up here with the naivety of the youth that I had. I know what Jesus Christ can do in my life, and I know what he's done in my family's life. I look out and I see all the blessings I have. I mean, I've got a wife, I've got three daughters, I've got a best friend, I got my brother, through the grace of God, is still here to stay. I've got my nephews, and I got my mom and dad, my mother and father-in-law. I got friends. I mean, I look out and I see lots of friends. Not only friends, but I see lots of family. There's a story. I told it in the early service. I'm going to try to tell it again. I met Laura on a blind date. Jeremy set me up, believe it or not. And it was a setup. There's a long story there. But on our blind date, she said nothing. I mean, she might have said hello. And she might have said goodbye. And I'm not exaggerating. We're in the back of a Jeep Cherokee at a drive-in, and that was the only words. I thought there was no interest. Jeremy decided otherwise, and they set us up again. And here we are all these years later and three kids. But the interesting part of that is, and I was told to stress this, is that Jeff was Laura's youth leader. Now think about that. Look at me. Jeff was Laura's youth leader. No. But so if you're in my Sunday school class, you're welcome, guys. But no, what's ironic about that is we came to College Park because Jeff and Laura's relationship. Laura knew Jeff and said, let's try College Park. I was dead set on staying at Enon, but we wanted to do something that was ours, I guess. And we tried College Park. You know, it wasn't Enon to me. I knew everybody at Enon. Everybody knew me. I grew up there. But we wanted something different, so we gave it a try. And it took a couple tries, and then we took a little bit of a break, and we came back. And when we came back, it still felt like home. It felt like family here. And I look out, and I think about all the people that were in that Sunday school class that made me feel that way. Chris Penix and his family is not in here this morning, but they were here. Michael Gruber and Courtney. Jason Cogdell was a huge part of us coming back. He just went way out of his way like he does for everything in his life and made sure that we felt extremely special, and we did. And it kept us here. I'm here today because God put Jeff in Laura's life all those years ago. It's not a coincidence. Raymond also asked me to speak to what it means to be a deacon. I don't know that I can put it any better than what he did a couple weeks ago, but I will tell you what it means to me. It's a great honor, and I think about the deacons I know here and what they have done. And I'm just going to name off a few, and it won't be everybody, guys. But again, Jim Burnell, Tony Perkins, those two, Ken. The list could go on and on. Tony asked me to be a greeter. I said, okay. The greeter is the greatest job you can have at this church. If you've never been a greeter, volunteer to be a greeter. Be the one at the 9 o'clock service that holds the door. If you don't know people, you will know people. If you don't know anything about them, ask Jim. He can tell you. Or Tony. But that has been a blessing to me. But I'm not going to be the guy up here that quotes a lot of scripture to you or that tries to preach. I'm going to be the guy that reaches out his hand to you. And I'm going to be the guy that can help you if you need it. And I'm here for you. And Raymond's I went to them and told them, I'm not sure what a deacon's supposed to do. I mean, I know what they do, but I don't know what they do. And his service was just like point on. And then I texted him the song, and dang if he didn't play it in the early morning service this morning. But I gave all the Bible up all those years ago. And it let me know that my church is watching me. The people are watching me. I try to live my life every day. I've tried to improve. I've tried to implement what Raymond has been teaching and preaching so that I can be that man that God wants me to be. I want you guys to know my heart. You know my character. And my desire is to be God's hands and feet. So thank you, guys.
We'll be looking at the covenant of commitment that is inside the back of, and this is, it says pastor and candidate, but when I read the pastor part, I'm really speaking for all of us, okay? Just so we understand kind of what's going on here. Josh, you've been elected by your church family to serve as a deacon. Today we have come to formally ordain you to the office. Before we proceed, we would like to hear your intentions concerning the fulfillment of this responsibility. Do you believe in your heart that you are truly called according to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ to the ministry of deacon?
I do.
Will you fulfill the duties and responsibilities of the office of a deacon, some of which are to be a fellow servant of Christ with the pastor in the church, to set an example of moral uprightness and dedication to the will of God, be a leader with the pastor in seeking to fulfill the mission of the church, and seek to build harmony in the life and ministries of the church?
I will.
Will you seek to be a person of faith and vision, always open to opportunities for witness, fresh ways of doing ministry, and service as God may lead?
I will.
Good, brother. I'm going to have Josh go ahead and make your way down there and kneel there. It says laying on of hands. Let me give you just a couple of practical instructions, if you will. I would love for all of you to have the opportunity to come by and speak to Josh down here. But for the sake of this part of the service where we have the laying on of hands, I want to ask that you allow me the grace to limit this somewhat. I would like for those who are ordained deacons already to feel free to come, whether it's deacon here at College Park or wherever, okay? If you're an ordained minister, certainly would love for you to come speak a few words or prayer with Josh. If you're family member, any of family members, be glad for you to come. And for the rest of you, I invite you to allow these, your deacons, your ministers, and family members to represent you in this time of laying on of hands. At the conclusion of the service, Josh will be here with his family, and all of you have an opportunity to come by and speak. Fair enough? Very good. Thank you. Just in terms of logistics, for those that will be speaking and or praying with Josh, if you will be line up along this aisle and come across here in the front, and then return to your seats back up this aisle. Let's enter into a time, a truly special time for him as well as us. Thank you. Hey, I was struck by the fact when Miss Clara came by, it just about brought tears to my eyes because I was struck by the sight of Josh, a new deacon of this congregation, of arguably one of our younger generations, and one of our charter members praying to bless him. You know, Clara's been here from the very beginning of this body known as College Park Baptist Church. Josh is here now, and every generation between is here now. This is the only place in our culture that we get seven or eight generations together and say, get along and get something done. Isn't that striking? Isn't that striking? And were it not for the power of the Holy Spirit, it would probably be impossible. But we do have that spirit you feel here in this place right now. It is a wonderful time of fellowship, encouragement for us as the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we pray now that we would be faithful. We would be faithful to Josh and his family, just as he has pledged that he will be faithful to us, the larger family that we call College Park Baptist Church. Father, we know that if he fails, it's our fault. Because we are pledging to uphold him, to encourage him, to strengthen him, to hold him accountable, even as he does the same with us. And so we thank you. We thank you that we have come to terms with who we are to be as the body of Christ, encouraging, building one another up, and then going out for ministry. Father, we pray that we would be focused on what it is you would have us to do, that we would not settle for the good, but that we would always seek your best in our personal lives, Father, as well as with the corporate body. Father, we pray that you would protect Josh and his family, because we know that now that he has made this big step in his life, that Satan will seek to come against him and will seek to use him or get to him in ways that he may be having a bad day or a weakness in one area of his life, and Satan will try to use that. We pray, Father, you will strengthen him and that we will constantly encourage him, strengthen him for his journey, even as we journey together. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray and ask all of these things. And all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Josh, I want to give you something here, your certificate of ordination, so that you can remember today, put this somewhere as a reminder to you that we're in this together, and we truly are blessed to be a part of each other's journey. Also, a new Bible. This is a great study Bible. It's probably a little heavy to carry around, but in terms of your study at home and work, it's a great Bible to study and learn more about what God has for you in your journey.
Thank you, sir.
Blessings on you, brother. I want to invite you, if you've felt God calling on your life today as we've been in this time of worship together, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation, a hymn of response. I invite you to come. I'll be standing here at the front. Josh, you can take a seat for right now. And I'll be standing here at the front and be glad to talk with you about whatever decision you would like to make. And then following that hymn, I'm going to ask Josh to come back, and he will be here with some of his family members and allow you to speak a word of encouragement. Would you stand with me as we sing together now?
Thank you.
and your lovely wife and your beautiful girls come join. And his lovely wife, who I may remind you, was one of Jeff's youth, in case you didn't catch them. Just one more time. Ha, 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 yeah. They're going to be here, and any other family members who want to come stand with him, come on, stand with him. And following our benediction choral response, I invite you, come by and greet them. Hug their necks if you haven't had a chance to meet them. Introduce yourself. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the blessings of this day, for the joy that we feel in our hearts. Father, we pray that you would go with us, that your Spirit would empower us to the work that you have for us this week. Father, we pray that as we come back next week to worship, we would come prepared, ready to share the good news of Jesus Christ and all that he's done in our lives. For it's in his precious name that we pray.